right. For those of you who don't know me, I am Adam. I came to Hiroshima 2.5 years ago, and about a year ago did my first sermon, and this is number 5, I think. But first of all, some of you don't know Pastor Chris. He's the normal pastor for this service, and today is his birthday. So since he's probably going to watch this video online, I thought we should sing happy birthday to him. So the camera's back there. Go ahead and turn around, and let's sing happy birthday to Pastor Chris. Oh, we're going to sing. Come on now. Happy to you. Now on to serious stuff. For the past year, we have been preaching through the book of Colossians. And so my goal today is to kind of, now that we've been through it at a very, very slow rate, to give an overall view of the whole book. I went back and was listening over old sermons. Went way back to December of last year, and Pastor Chris started. And his sermon was called Jesus the Supreme Being. And this is the purpose, the goal of all of Colossians is to establish that Jesus is the Supreme Being. For those of you who haven't been here, another quick background on Colossians, the whole letter, it was there was a guy called Epaphras who heard the gospel from Paul, became a Christian, and went back to his home city and started a church. It's a young church, and they didn't have much knowledge as far as the scriptures go, and so other groups came in and started to teach false teachings. And the main group of these was called the Gnostics. And so there were two truths, essentially, that the gospel was establishing and talking about. The first is the person of Christ, who he is. And the second was the work of Christ, what he did, and what that means for us. And the Gnostics came in with slightly off teaching, and the first lie they told was that Jesus is not fully God. One of the first things they got at was that he didn't have a physical body, he was a spirit, and so the physical work was not what we thought it was. And the second thing was that Jesus' salvation wasn't sufficient. What Jesus did was great, it provided a great thing for us, however, there were other things you had to do with that. They talked about special knowledge and rituals and all kinds of things that kind of just added on to what the gospel truly was. And so Epaphras sees this happening and goes back to Paul, who was in prison in Rome, and says, help me. And Colossians is the letter that Paul wrote in response to this false teaching. And the first thing I want to do today is read what Pastor Chris first spoke on in Colossians, and basically is the meat of Colossians. If you have a Bible, I forgot to put it up on a slide. If you have a Bible, could you please turn to Colossians 1? And I want to read together verses 15 through 20. All right, if you could read with me. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. And in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. And so, next slide, please. So this, there are six things that he establishes in this section, and the rest of the book fleshes it out. First is that Jesus is God and creator. He is not man and kind of God and maybe created. No, he is God and the creator of all things. He is the pre-existent sustainer. In him, all things hold together. He is the head of the church. He is the first to be resurrected, the firstborn among the dead. He is the fullness of God in bodily form, not a part of God. The fullness of God rests in Jesus. And he is the reconciler between God and mankind. And of course, this was not written. All the things, the chapters, the verses, all those breaks were not in the original letter. This was a letter written as a whole for a specific purpose. And that purpose was to establish the supremacy of God. Supremacy of Jesus. If we go through and pick out verses and do this, we miss the grand picture of what the whole book was written to do. And so, if you go back through it and outline the entire book, you can clearly see, next slide, that his goal throughout the entire thing is Jesus, is Christ, and to show who he is. The importance of faith in Christ, preeminence of Christ, reconciliation through Christ, sacrificial service for Christ, no philosophy but Christ, no legalism but Christ, no carnality but Christ. Put on Christ. Let Christ affect your home. Let Christ affect your daily life. Apparently, this was quite important to Paul. And so what I want to do today, yeah, we're still going to do it. All right, next slide, please. I think we're going to change this to 12 groups now. I had no idea there would be so many people here. What I want to do is divide into, we're going for it. 12 groups, okay? 12 groups. I don't know how many people we have here. Good luck figuring that out. But please, if you can divide into 12 groups, huh? Five per group. We'll start with that and see where it goes. All right, so groups of five, please. Okay. Once you've had a group, raise your hand so I can see. Okay. Whew. So we have a front group here. Is this one big? Like, this is two groups. Okay, so if the first group here, two groups? Okay. Good gracious. Okay, I'm going to not delegate, just ask you to read one chapter of Colossians together. Don't all read chapter one, and I think if you all choose a different chapter, it should balance out. So just choose a chapter of Colossians and read it together. And your goals for this is not just to read, but there are three things I want you to try to find as you read this. All right, so, the first thing I want you to do is read through a chapter. You choose your chapter, divide it up, not everyone read chapter one. I want you to find one, the key verse, a key verse that sums up that chapter. The second thing is, as you read, remember that this is written to show the supremacy of Christ. So read through it and think about what Paul is doing to show the supremacy of Christ. And finally, for those of you who have been here for the year or a good part of it, as you're reading, if you come across a verse that you've heard a sermon on and there is something that to this day still stands out to you about what Pastor Chris or some other pastor said from the pulpit, I want to have a couple of people who are willing to share how this whole year of teaching has personally benefited them. Okay. So from here, chapter, read, dozo. Yes? How long? I'll give you about 7 minutes. Any chapter in Colossians. Any single chapter in Colossians. I hope not. This is your official 2 minute warning. 2 minute warning. Hate to cut short any discussions, but still got a lot of ground to cover. So, did any groups do Colossians 1, first chapter? Could I get a hand or something? Fantastic. That works out because I already covered the key verse earlier. All right, chapter 2. Okay, if one group, just one group, could share their key verse. Okay. I said verse. No, that's fine. Okay, I'll read 9 and 10 then, since unless you really want to. Okay, I'll do. So they chose 9 and 10. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. All right. And how does that show Christ's supremacy? What does chapter 2 do to show Christ's supremacy? If a different group would like to answer that. No? All right. Okay, chapter 3. Who read chapter 3? All right, there we go. Eager hands, I like it. All right, what was the key verse for you in chapter 3? Just yell the reference out, I'll read it. 11. 11, okay. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. All right. And did anyone read chapter 4? Awesome. All right. What was a key verse from chapter 4? Verse 6. Okay. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. All right. And real quick, is there anyone, you don't feel any pressure to, is there anyone who has been here for a majority of the sermons on Colossians for the past year? If there was any specific sermon or idea or realization that has really meant a lot to you and influenced you over the past year, if you would like to share, I think testimony is also important when it comes to how the sermons have affected our lives outside of the church, too. So if anyone has an example of that. All right, you in the back there, yes.
For me, Colossians 1:17, Pastor was talking about it very, very early on in the year, and it's one that I remembered over and over. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. I know oftentimes I try very hard to together because I can't do that myself. I have to depend on Christ to hold me together, because if I don't, I'm just going to explode. So that verse throughout this whole year has been encouraging me and been teaching me, so I'm very thankful for it.
Anybody else?
Struggles he's talking about, he touched me in the way that it's not about Paul, but it's about Jesus. And the way I see it was that I wrote out, if someone has to lose, let it be me. And that was Jesus. So it's something because of me, someone has to lose. So my sin is losing because of me. But he's willing. He loved me enough.
Quickly then, I want to try to sum up the book as I've seen it for the past year. And I think you can do that by how you answer these three questions. Next slide. Based on Colossians. And the first thing, if you look on your page here, this is what this outline is about. Is there are many ways people have outlined it. This is my form of many different ones I've been looking up over the past week. So the first question here is, by whom are you saved? And the answer to this, based on Colossians, is the supreme being. You're saved by Jesus. We talked about the six things that it says he is: the God and creator, pre-existent sustainer, head of the church, first to be resurrected, the supreme being, God, not a good man, not a spirit, but he came, was fully God, was fully man. And so, the next question there. is how are you saved? And the answer to this should be, based on Colossians, sufficiently. When you're asked the question, why are you going to heaven? I think, whether we'd say it out loud or not, there might still be that part of us that says, I'm covered by grace and, or I'm a good person, I do good things. And the purpose of this, whether it's Gnostics from the outside or our own human nature from inside the church giving us the wrong idea, the salvation on the cross was sufficient. There is no, I did some good stuff too, and since then, I know I was saved, and now I'm a good person, I stopped doing this. If that kind of thought gets into your head, it's just as damaging and just as dangerous as saying that Jesus' resurrection was just part of it, or we need special knowledge. The purpose of it is the supremacy of Christ and the simple fact that what he did on the cross is it. It's done. It's finished. And early on, Pastor Chris talked about the five images of salvation. This is all from chapter 1, I believe. How we were rescued. The word for rescued wasn't God helped us out. We were helpless, and he came out of grace and offered salvation. We were redeemed. We were qualified, made holy. We didn't earn holiness. We were given it. We were forgiven of our sins. We were adopted as sons. And so Pastor Chris talked about Jesus is not our safety. He's not who we run to when times are going hard and then we forget. He's not a supplement to go along with other things in our life that make us good people. And he's not our sidekick who we call in when we need to do something hard and, all right, God, I got a big test tomorrow. I got to preach tomorrow. Help me out. He's not that. And Pastor Chris made the point that we will know Jesus is supreme and sufficient by three things: transformation, by how we love each other, and by repentance in our own lives. And the final question here is, why are you saved? And this is written all over Colossians as well. We are saved to serve. We are saved to serve the church, to serve God's chosen people. Paul talks about suffering for the church. We're saved to serve the outsider. Let your conversation be seasoned with salt when you talk to outsiders. We are called to serve our blood family. It talks about how husbands love wives and wives respect husbands and how you deal with children. And the same thing for employees or employers. Pastor Chris talked about the mandate, the motivation, and the mission for work. This is how Christ is not here. He's not what happens here. Christ is through our whole life. This whole book, everything in it is pointing towards that fact. And of course, the ultimate authority, we're saved to serve God. As it says, we have a master in heaven. And so, as a body, how do we live in harmony? He talks about that in chapter 3, with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And a few other points that, going back through pages and pages of notes from the past year, is that God's goal is not to make us happy. If along the way you're made happy, that's great. Rejoice in it. Really appreciate that, because the good times nor the bad times are promised. Well, actually, take that back. The bad times are promised. Pastor Chris talked about us being submarines at one point, that we're meant to surface, meant to have these happy times, but the depth of God's love and the depth of realizing our sinfulness and investing in other people and the difficulties of life is what we're meant to do. And when we're down there in the depths, we realize that God's the one who sustains us. The goal was never to make us happy. I've been having weekly meetings with a group of Mormons that come by my house, and we've been talking, and they presented it as the plan of happiness. And I thought, wow, that sounds great. You have 5 steps to make me happy? Awesome. That's not what we have here. We have a way to make us holy. And the next thing it says, that we're not here to become better people. We're here to come closer to Jesus. Fixing the external ways that we act means nothing if the inside is not changed. In the Sermon on the Mount, the entire thrust of this was not about outsiders. He was talking to people who understood the Jewish law. And so when he talked about the wide and the narrow, the truth of the matter is he was talking about legalism. The narrow way is the way of grace. The narrow way is the way of Christ being supreme, and the only reason we're saved is through his blood. The Pharisees were offering the wide road. I follow these laws. I do these things. I go to these rituals. I don't eat this. I'm clean physically and ceremonially. That was the wide road. You read it in the context of the rest of the Sermon on the Mount, it's pointing towards the fact that the narrow road is looking at yourself and going, I've done nothing to deserve any of this. It is a gift, and I accept it through faith, and grace is it. And so at the end there is no peace without grace. If we're walking around with the idea that reading my Bible makes me a better person, then when you see your brother who hasn't read the Bible, all of a sudden there's pride. I'm better than him. I've done more than him. Why don't they come to church? Why aren't they helping with this? None of that matters. It's grace. So in the body, there's no peace without realizing that it's only through grace that we are able to come here and love each other. There's no holiness without grace. I said a ton on that. It's not a matter of what you do and don't do. There's no salvation without grace. There's no special knowledge, no special wisdom, as the Gnostics were trying to tell them now. And there is no grace, none of this works without Christ, which is the point of all of Colossians. And if you get a chance to go back and read through it again as a whole letter, as it was meant to be read, please do so. Because that is, without a doubt, the realization that you will see that Paul is trying to get through throughout the entire letter. And so in a closing verse here, in chapter 1, 28 through 29, as it has in your page here, he is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom to present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I, Paul, strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. The goal is to present each member of this body fully mature before Christ. And the only way that we can do that is through the power of the supreme being, Christ. And this is the message of Colossians. This is what we spent a year trying to get to, and this is what I hope you walk away with today. All right, dear Lord, I thank you for the depth of your word and the fact that we can spend years studying your word, years figuring out what we thought we knew about you, make our outlines, make our understandings, and still, as we continue to study, realize that it's incomplete, that we don't fully understand, that we need more of you, that we need to continue to learn about you. And I pray that as we strive after this goal, that we don't do it in isolation, we don't do it away from the body, that we work out how to serve by serving each other and work out how to love by loving each other and realizing the whole time that it's all held together by you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.